Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast special edition here on a Saturday. Shade, how's it going? How's it going, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh man, I figured because it's spur of the moment. Auburn, number one Auburn, just defeated number two Alabama. We wanted to hop on here. I thought it lived up to the hype, Shade. Yep. It was best day of game of the year, and the team that's been number one for the vast majority kind of flex their muscles and let it be known. We're being transparent with the audience. We've only been watching SEC basketball for about a month, but to me, I think it's Auburn and Florida and Alabama and at times Tennessee all look good. But to me, Shane, I think Auburn is a clear number one right now.
Yeah, and when they are hitting on all cylinders, that's when they're extremely dangerous. You know, it's like some of the games that they did lose, it felt like you could make excuses because this and that. But by God, Mike, when they're on, they're dialed in. Bruce Pearl's, they may be going. So I don't know. I don't want to play them. I thought this would be a better game. I thought, honestly, maybe that's the problem. You build these games up. I mean, we've been building it up since last week, and then you just, unless it comes down the wire, you're not satisfied, you know? So that's kind of what I got from this game. There was moments even toward the end of this, Bama could have got back into it, but yeah. They kept shooting themselves in the foot, couldn't make a three-pointer to save their damn lives. It was kind of dirty at times.
Yeah, excellent point from my favorite Auburn fan, Shane. I swear this isn't my burner here. War Eagle, but Hugh Freeze sucks. That's his name. Again, War Eagle, but Hugh Freeze sucks. Bama never led. There's nothing you can say now. Auburn's the best team, hands down. Now they'll play again.
Yeah,
at Auburn, of course. So Auburn will have a big advantage. They'll probably play in the SEC tournament. And if all goes according to plan, they'll probably play in the NCAA tournament. You know what?
Yeah, I mean, Alabama's still good, Mike. You know, nobody wants to play Bama still. But, you know, you'll probably be power ranking for too long. But after, you know, we still got some games being played right now. But at this moment, would you have Auburn firm position there, first spot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. By a country mile, Shane.
Country mile? I don't know about that.
After what we just saw Saturday at Alabama, you know what?
You say that, then you watch Florida beat them, and you're like, I don't know why we didn't have Florida number one. You know?
That's fair. Hey, we get back to basketball in a second, but I wanted to give you a shout-out, man. Everybody, if you haven't already, I'll put a link. Shane, if you could do this, I'll put it up there as soon as we're done. There'll be a little, you could just click where he's pointing and you could see it if you missed it. But the first edition of Big Cuz Does has been universally praised. How did it feel putting that together and what made you want to do it?
It made me not want to do it ever again, Mike, because I just kidding. The editing process, obviously, that took a long time. That's why I couldn't get it out sooner. But all in all, I've talked to several people that have already watched it and they said they really enjoyed it. So I appreciate everybody that went on there and gave it a thumbs up. That really does mean a lot to me. But it was fun, man. And it's kind of like a springboard to what's next. So if there's something you want Big Cuz to do, let me know. I heard Cracker Barrel. I seen Disney Cruise, go back to Epcot and drink around the world there. So yeah, whatever you got, any suggestions, just put it in the show notes and we'll be able to do it. So I'm looking forward to it. It was fun. The family had a good time. But man, it was an expensive bar tab. I ain't gonna lie, man. Still gonna be paying. That's why we're doing the show on Saturday.
So I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
So let me know, because I honestly don't know. I know you did something for Valentine's Day. Will there be anything coming from that?
Well, I'm going to include that on Sunday's show, so be sure to check that out. Ooh. Me and the wife went over to Tennessee Legends Distillery. Fantastic establishment. If you've not got there, man, I'm just telling you, it's like family. It's like family. When you walk into that place, not only can you do the tastings and stuff, but they had a little sip and paint situation. So I was struggling with what to get my wife something for Valentine's Day. This fell in my lap, brother, and we had an absolute blast over here. Obviously, I'm an artiste.
You weren't sipping paint, though.
Yeah, no. Actually, I almost drank the thing when I was there, but I had several of the spirits, if you will, and by the time I got done there, brother, I don't know whose board I was painting on. So be sure to check out tomorrow's show. We'll have a little segment included in the show for that one.
But it won't be a full cousin Cousins or anything?
No, we're going to go back, Mike. I tell you what, these guys, they're excited. They're pumped up to have you there. There's been a lot of cousins that have already popped in and told them it's the first stop that you make when you're going to Sevier County. And when everybody goes to Sevier County, Dollywood's about to crank back up, you know. So stop off there. They've got this real cool setup that they're going to be doing outside when it warms up. So I'm pumped up for that. But I think you and I need to go over there and do a segment, because it's going to be really cool when it's all said and done. But right now, I tell you, if you're moonshine tasting, bourbon tasting, you know, this is a good spot to stop in. They got some awesome stuff in there.
Hey, how about this idea from Cousin Dakota for a Big Cuz Does? Golden Corral all-nighter.
No shit. Went there yesterday. Oh, I was wondering why my stomach hurts. Went Shoney's, then Golden Corral. Should never do that back-to-back. But before we went and did the paint and sip, that's where we went, the Golden Trough across the street. So.
And he's got another suggestion. Big Cuz noodling on the river.
Yeah. Have you ever done that? You ever watched them do that?
No.
Man, I tell you what, I don't know. I've heard horror stories about, you know, people getting caught snapping turtles and stuff, losing fingers and shit. But my daughter absolutely loves it. My oldest, she went down there to a little place in Alabama, her and her boyfriend, and got pictures and stuff. And I'll tell you what, man, that is a damn extreme sport right there, getting a big old catfish.
Now, this one's more up your alley. The have you ever heard of the 24-hour challenge in Waffle House?
No. What's that?
So it's, you got to stay 24 hours in a Waffle House, but you can subtract each hour if you eat a waffle.
That's it?
I think that's what it is. I'm pretty sure. So yeah,
I'll be in there for 30 minutes.
So if you could eat 23 waffles, you could leave in an hour.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, let's do that one. That one sounds fun. Yeah, let's do the Waffle House challenge. So let me get this straight. You sit in, and if you eat 24 waffles, you can just walk right out. Not that I'm going to eat 24 waffles, but
right. Let's say I think that's easier said than done. I really do.
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, they make pretty big waffles. If I get 12 in, then I got to sit there for 12 hours. Wow, man, this sounds challenging and a little scary. I like it. I like it. Okay, yeah, let's put that one on the list. Maybe we do that one next week.
Yes, this is what we're trying to do.
Be sure to tag Waffle House.
Yeah. We're trying to come up with some fun ways, you know, because again, we can only do so many damn lists this season.
Yeah.
When basketball comes to an end, we won't have much to talk about. So this is what we're trying to do. No cinnamon, says Cousin Tony, in your waffles. That's part of it.
I'd probably go plain Jane if I'm trying to get 24 in. I don't need any extra, like, you know, pecans or anything like that.
They're daring us not to do a 24-hour live stream from a Waffle House.
What is that? Does that mean they are daring us? But takeaway.
Right, let's get back to the basketball, though, real quick, Shade. So, in case, again, we're new to all this stuff, right? So it's like some of this may seem obvious to others, and maybe you're kind of new to it as well, because the SEC is so damn good at basketball, you're starting to pay attention. But what they do, Shane, I know it's early.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 3 weeks away from the SEC tournament. So that's when we'll really have a great picture of where all these teams are going to be fitting into slots, essentially, in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a official preview one, and they did it today. And how about this, buddy? The SEC?
Yeah.
Four of the top 16, including three number one seeds. Auburn, number one overall. Alabama, number two overall. Florida, number four overall. And then how about Tennessee, number five, and A&M, number six?
Mm.
So five of the top six all coming from the SEC as of today for the upcoming NCAA tournament. And this was before the games today.
Yeah.
A&M won, Tennessee won, Auburn won, And yeah, Alabama did lose, but they lost to number one, so you can't really knock them for that, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely not, man. Shit, Tennessee, boy, they scared me a little bit, down 16 points. I thought that one was going to slip through their fingers. Thank God Vandy bandied that thing.
Yeah, shout out to, if you missed it, Tennessee won 81-76. Zakai Ziegler did not score in the first half, but he scored 22 in the second half. Shane, that's a high for a Tennessee player. This entire season, like you said, the Vols were down 16 in the first half. Mm-hmm. And Chaz Lanier, shout out, when he gets his shot going, Tennessee's tough to beat. He had 21 points in this game. It was kind of a must win, I think, for Tennessee if they're going to keep this 2-seed talk up and coming. You know what?
Well, and that's if you're following Tennessee, I think that's kind of where you're at. You're like, hey, man, if you can play like you did in the second half, you could beat anybody. You know, and I think, again, consistency, similar to college football, you know, it's just it's tougher for a lot of these programs. You know, I'm seeing more and more of it from the elite ones, like you mentioned earlier. But Tennessee's one of those fringe ones that can't decide if they want to be elite or if they just want to be competitive. Like, please, God, get to a Final Four. You know, this could be the year.
Yeah. And another one, Shane, that it could be their year.
Yeah.
How about them Aggies? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Arkansas, they're trying to fight their way in there, but A&M won at home 69-61. A&M's won five in a row, Shane. That's how they're elevated to this number two seed. Wade Taylor had 18. Arkansas had 17 turnovers. That killed them.
Yeah.
And Aggies outscored them 34-22 in the paint. That was a deciding factor in this one. And, you know, the SEC is far and away the best league.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to sense a little bit of separation between the teams at the top. They're getting into tournament mode here, taking care of business, winning these games they're supposed to be winning. And that doesn't mean the other teams like Arkansas, and we'll get to Georgia in a second, doesn't mean they're not good. But I think the cream is rising, so to speak, right now.
Well, I think, you know, Coach Cal even said after this game, you know, that the good team find a way to win when you're playing bad. And I feel like that's what A&M didn't have a great game, but they had a game that you're talking about, kind of tournament play. They find a way to win, will this thing to victory. So A&M's another dangerous fringe team that nobody really wants to play, man.
And then one other one. Shane's secret love here. Mizzou on the road, 87. Mm-hmm. Georgia, 74. How about this, Shane? Mizzou outscored them 49-33 in the second half. That's winning basketball. Insane. Fast break points, 19-0 in favor of Mizzou. Georgia's third consecutive loss. Missouri is heating up, man. That's a team I don't think you want any part of in the tournament when it comes, because they may not be a two seed or whatever right now, but they're playing their way into a top four seed.
Yeah, and how frustrating is it for Georgia too? You know, it's here. I saw a tweet the other day. A guy said something along the lines like, "We're the only school that can hire a coach and not turn it around immediately." You know, it's like Georgia. It's just they've had moments, they've had flashes, but Mizzou's really starting to stretch down the second half of this season. So again, getting ready for tournament play. So I love it, brother.
All right, so that's about all we can contribute when it comes to basketball, because there's still games on.
But it's such a cool time of year, man. I'm a diehard football lover, you know. Mm-hmm. But you got this happening. Basketball's cranking up. We're getting close to March Madness, you know. We've got baseball firing off. We got NASCAR right around the corner here. Golf, getting the golf game here in a little bit, you know, just to play it for 3 months and then get rid of it. So it's just that time of the year where, you know, hey, we don't have football, but we got a lot of sports going on.
And
unfortunately, SEC's great at all of them.
Well, here's where we do got football, buddy. We got it on this show. Come on. We got SEC mailbag. We got some great mailbag questions. So shout out everybody that asked us a question. And shout out cousin Glenn Warshaw. Shane, he's an official cousin. If you're an official cousin, you're a member of the channel. Every time you ask a question in one of the mailbag questions, you'll get it answered here. Yep. So how about cousin Glenn? We've kind of hit this already, but which SEC team – mm-hmm — that did not make a bowl last year will have the biggest increase in win total in 2025. So He is talking, of course, these three teams, Shane, Auburn.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's going to be probably a popular one with 5-7. Kentucky, Shane's preseason darling. 4-8. And Mississippi State, which unfortunately went winless in the league, 2-10. So if you had to pick one of those three, Auburn, Kentucky, Mississippi State, which one has the bigger win increase? And maybe it's not quite as easy as what he's saying, because Auburn seems like an easy answer, right?
Yeah.
But they had five. So, I mean, if they go to 7 and Mississippi State wins 5, mm-hmm. you know, that means they're the correct answer, because they improved by 3 games, whereas Auburn only improved by 3. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I absolutely. The math checks out, Mike. But the answer stays the same. It's the Auburn Tigers. I'm afraid Kentucky may go the wrong way. You know, Mississippi State, I think they're lucky to repeat. So, yeah. I think Auburn's your answer here, Mike. And you know, we're going to talk about optimism when we get a little bit closer to the season, when we do our picks. One of my favorite shows is, as a Auburn homer, if you will, picking what's the best case scenario. And there's going to be – this may be one of those that I get kind of fringe playoffs if the stars align, you know. Not saying that happens, but I do see a massive increase in wins. This is a it's going to be a dangerous football team. And that's just me buying in. Buying in for the playmakers that they currently have on the roster. Buying in to what Hugh Freeze and company have brought in through the transfer portal and recruiting classes. I think Auburn's poised to have a fantastic season. So give me Auburn there.
Yeah, and I hate to put it all on one guy other than Hugh. But it's got to be Jackson Arnold. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He can't come in here and be just average. And we're going to – like, I know you didn't just say playoff team, but you said approaching that territory. You know what I mean? Like, if he's not outstanding, I don't see them making a leap like that. But he was a 5-star. Remember, we were blown away, Shane. We said, man – this guy is a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
They're bringing him to SEC Media Days at Oklahoma.
Cool cat.
You know, so that is unheard of. You know what I mean? So that just gives you an indication of what Oklahoma thought of him. Of course, it didn't work out. But the point being is, you know, this will be two programs in a row that are putting all their faith in Jackson Arnold.
I think that's a valid point. I mean, you ask yourself, why didn't it work out? Did it work out because of Jackson, or did it not work out because of offensive line, because of no wide receivers, because of terrible play calling? You know, I think there's a lot of factors, and Jackson is a blame on some of it, if not a lot of it. I'm not going to lie to you. It felt like he was forced to try to be that player that changed the game for Oklahoma last season. So I'm not yet ready to bury him, but I tell you what, 4 or 5 games in and I'm not seeing it, you better believe I'm off the Jackson bandwagon.
Well, you know what? If I'm an Auburn fan, Shane, I'm throwing open that Alabama-Oklahoma tape.
Yeah.
And I'm saying he whooped Alabama's ass, went up and down the field on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
He might be one of the more underrated players.
Skip the Missouri one, you know, and the South Carolina.
I just wanted to give one example. Mm-hmm. All right, shout out Michael Riley, also a member of the channel. So we ask every time answer every time he asks a question. What most underappreciated quarterback, Shane, in SEC history? Whoa. Who comes to mind when it's underappreciated? And I got a couple. I always come prepared. I always throw these at Shane right out the money. I don't know if you could even count this guy, but I think people quickly forget how a lot of fans threw this guy under the bus, never wanted him. Hell, I don't think the coach ever wanted him, Shane. Stetson Bennett, Georgia. I think he's going to – again, that was recently, so maybe that's not all time. But, you know, I think you get 10 years removed, 20 years removed. What happened? And I'm not saying this will happen, because I've said it many times, Shane. I think – Kirby's got at least one or two more national championships, depending on how long he stays at Georgia. Well, what happens if they don't win one?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, you know, 50, 60 years, and they have those two, which you can never take that away from them. But all of a sudden, Stetson Bennett leading them to back-to-back national championships looks even more impressive. And again, remember, every offseason they tried to replace his ass.
Yeah. That's a good one. And I think that's the important part, is the replacing side of it. It was like they kept was it Daniels? What is his name?
Yeah,
we don't even know. Didn't matter, you know. But at the time,
JT Daniels.
I think we spent more time talking about him in that offseason pickup than the quarterback that ultimately won him a national championship that took that 1980 joke off the plate. So you're right, man. And this is a tough list. This is one I probably should have done a little research on because I'm sure there's a handful of names here.
I got a couple more.
Okay. Well, I was thinking real quick too, Jalen. You just seen him with win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I felt like there was moments that he kind of put Alabama on track to win national championships, to be part of those Bama dynasty that we're going to talk about Nick Saban about. So, yeah, I think Jalen is another one that I would consider on this list.
Yeah, that's a great one. How about this? This guy, I know their fans love him. I don't know if the rest of the SEC, though, fully wrap their head around how great this guy was for the university. But how about when I think of underappreciated quarterbacks in SEC history,
yeah,
the number one name that come to mind for me is Connor Shaw down there at South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
When you go back-to-back-to-back 11-win seasons under the great Steve Spurrier, and this was obviously different than Florida. They couldn't just throw it all over the yard. He was, man, he was a warrior. He could run it. He could throw it. Clutch as hell. Connor Shaw, to me, is one of the most underrated quarterbacks, I think, in SEC history.
Man, I'd like to have a big cuz does with him, you know. Talk about drinking. I think that would be a fun one. But, I think, you know, I'm trying to think of even Spencer. I felt like was a little unappreciated for the success that South Carolina had. It could have been worse. That's the thing. It's like,
yeah,
I feel like the season could have been worse if you didn't have him there. I think of guys like Chris Leak, you know, usually the ones before the Tim Tebow show up, forget kind of who was there first. I there's a whole bunch, man.
Someone said in the comments, they said Nick Marshall, remember him at Auburn? He was really good. Then I got another wild card for you, Shane. I know you were.
I got one. I just want to make sure I got his name right because it's been a while. But Lynn Bowden.
He's on my list here.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they didn't have a quarterback, you know, and then this little wildcat situation they put out there and it ends up working. I don't know, man. Kentucky didn't have the season they wanted, but it really would have been disastrous if they didn't have Lynn up there kind of toting the rock. So that's one of my favorite ones.
You have to be such a good athlete to pull that off, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thinks you could just do it, but it's not at this level yet. Lynn Bowden proved otherwise. Yeah. In the SEC, you can just throw your best athlete out there. You can out-athlete everybody. Yeah. That was I was going to – he's on my list. I was like, I don't know if you count him as a quarterback, but, hell, he was that year. You know what?
Absolutely.
How about this guy? Nick Fitzgerald, Mississippi State.
Oh, that's a good one.
Always liked watching him play. And how about this stat, Shane? I don't think most SEC fans realize this. There's not a single quarterback in this conference history that's got more rushing yards than Nick Fitzgerald.
Mm.
And this was before you could play 5 years, COVID year, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think his legacy would have been a lot better if two things happened to him. Final game, Dan Mullen coached. There at Mississippi State, he broke his leg in the Egg Bowl and they lost it.
Yeah.
And then they had the coaching change to Joe Moorhead. And they had an absolutely loaded team his senior year that went, what was it, like 8-5 or so. And they had four first-round picks on the defensive side. If Dan Mullen was back, I think they would have made the college football playoff. I think it was that big of a downgrade from Joe Moorhead. And I think the Nick Fitzgerald story would have been a lot different had Dan Mullen stayed at one more year.
Yeah, good one, man. Very good one. And I got one for you. This is a little near and dear to me anyway. I think Hendon Hooker is another one. Would we wish we had him longer? Absolutely. But what I think about Hendon and the success that Tennessee is now having, it started with him. You know, he was the one that kind of lit the fire. There was games that he kind of put the Tennessee balls on his back, and I was not in the Hendon Hooker camp when it first started. I was like, man, we are tough. I mean, How's Joe Milton not working? This guy could throw 1,000 yards. You know, it's like, and Hendon Hooker came in and quickly became a crowd favorite for a reason. But more importantly, the success that Josh Heupel is now having, I think, had a lot to do, especially with that 22 season and those Vols.
And then I got one more that I'm not putting them on this list today.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying 5 years from now, we can look back and say, you know what? Maybe that guy was more valuable than anybody realized. And I hope it doesn't happen this way because he's finally remembered. But the way I'm looking at it, Shane, you just won a ton of games the last 2 years with him as your quarterback. Mm-hmm. And if you take a step down, I think suddenly you're like, man, he was big. Who do you think I'm talking about? Close to your heart.
Close. I don't know, man. I could be anybody. Dobbs?
Dobbs. No, Brady Cook. Come on, man. Mizzou. Oh. Mizzou just won 21 games in 2 years. You know, like, what if they go 8-5 next year and 7-6 or whatever that, you know what I mean? Then all of us, that, again, it's not all Brady Cook. Right? There's a hell of a lot of good players on Missouri, but I think he's one that we could look back at and say, man.
Yeah.
That guy was a hell of a lot better than we thought.
Well, and that's usually, again, kind of like I said with Hooker, you feel about some of these programs that are now having success. How did it start, you know? Matt Corral up there at Ole Miss. It's like he was that team. And he was, I felt like, the one that really got that thing rolling. So, you know, these guys are the ones that laid the groundwork for the success that we're now giving Lane Kiffin and Eli Drink and Josh Heupel. You know, this league shows that if you do not have a quarterback, you will not succeed. So you took a chance in recruiting them. You took a chance in keeping them on your roster. And these guys are the ones that really helped your team get to where they're at now.
And and speaking of that, Shane, the next question, I think they're pointing right at you, buddy, when they ask this question. But we'll get to that in just a second, because you're talking about taking off. You know how you take off your financial goals here in 2025? Shane? Rocket Money, come on. You already know. RocketMoney.com with that promo code GAMEON. Hook us up. If you're looking to get better financial status, and one thing I love about Rocket Money is what Shane and I, their number one feature, you get this app, and it immediately looks up all the subscriptions that you currently have. And with a click of a button, you can get out of any subscriptions. It's Valentine's Day, Shane. Yeah. If you got some OnlyFans you forgot about, oh, buddy, you better get out of that immediately. You know, this will, Rocket Money will, by click of a button, you don't even have to go to OnlyFans anymore. You know what I mean? So RocketMoney.com, promo code GAMEON. This is a trusted app with over 5 million active users. Shane, have saved over $500 million over at rocketmoney.com. And don't forget that promo code, Game On. You know what?
Oh, it's a good chance to plug my OnlyFans account. I will say this, man. I had to mute notifications when I was down there in Universal. You know, I kept getting emails like, hey, you sure you want to spend that?
How about, speaking of Gamecock fan here, Gamecock Zach, Shane. Again, I think this one's, he's looking right at you when he's asking this one, Shane. Why is Eli Drinkwitz considered a great coach and better than Shane Beamer? Listen here, he's got a good point. When outside of an exhibition game against an inferior conference, he's talking about Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl, who sat about half their roster there. His best win is against an 8-4 Tennessee team. You remember that one. Yeah. To me, great coaches pick off better teams and not just win the games they're favored to for 2 years. That's direct quote from Gamecock Zach. Defend your boy Drink here, Shane.
Well, I just think if you had no favoritism here, Mike, if you literally had, you know, you're just walking in and they said you could pick one of two jobs, South Carolina or Mizzou, which one you want? I'm taking South Carolina. Why? Yeah. Because I think they're closer to being elite than Mizzou was. And you see it just in the stadium alone, William Bryce Stadium, and now they're just now remodeling, you know, Mizzou's field. You know what I'm saying? It's like they truly are building something there. And so – yeah, I felt like you had a little bit of a handicap. And what Shane Beamer has done with this program has been encouraging. Mike, I look at the 22 season, the 24 season. We talked about a little drop-off in 23, but if they back up this nine-win season with another 9 or 10, then I think you can make the argument that Shane Beamer is a better coach than Eli Drinkwitz. The reason that I put Drink ahead of him is because I'm building something. And I just feel like when it's all said and done, if Drink walks away another season, another 10-win season here, Mike, you talk about the job offers, they better really pay him well, because it's going to be tough to keep him in Columbia, because a lot of programs that are struggling out here that got money want to see the same success that he's created there in Missouri.
Yeah. Oh, I think that was an excellent answer, Shane.
Thank you.
And I think Gamecock Zach was just, you know, if your name's Gamecock Zach, you got to defend your guy.
Yeah.
And I agree. I see his logic. I see Mizzou fans' logic. I think at the end of the day, Shane, if we're sitting here saying basically every Mizzou fan's got their coaches back and every Gamecock fan's got their coaches back, you know what that tells you? They each got a hell of a coach.
Yep.
And there's not a ton to pick apart from. You know what?
That's the crazy thing. It's like I'm not saying he's miles apart. I'm saying by a thin hair, I'm going to take Drink over Shane, but I would be extremely happy to have Coach Beamer as my coach. So,
right.
Yeah, these are two programs, two up-and-coming programs that there's a reason there's a lot of excitement and buzz around them.
Hey, all right, now how about this one, Shane? Great name here, too. From Floki Simmons. Similar. Yeah, did you see this, Shane? Ryan Williams, Alabama, outstanding receiver, of course. He got an NIL deal for his nail polish. Did you see this?
No.
So he's painting his nails, and it's a sponsored deal, all this, that, and the other. So you got to know that going in. But he says, okay, how much money would it take for us to paint our nails for an NIL deal?
A lot. It'd take a lot, man. And I don't know. My grandfather would roll over in his grave if he saw me paint my nails. Both mine were military, and they were so, I mean, they were just, you just didn't. I'll never forget, me and my brother, we got some of them fake nose rings, you know, like it looked like a bull, you know, and I walked in, and man, I've never seen my grandfather jump up so quick in my damn life. We're like, it's fake. He saw fingernails. Oh my gosh, he'd have a damn fit. So no, it'd take an absolute ton, you know. Now I'm not going to say I'm not done. I've got a house full of women. That's why I'm bald here, Mike.
Yeah.
So say I've never had fingernails painted, I'd be lying to you.
But shout out to Big Cuz Does again. If you haven't seen it, like, geez Louise, you won't get the reference unless you go check out Big Cuz Does. He says, like that Orlando bartender.
That's right. You know, and the crazy thing is, that kid, he knew more about the alcohol. You know, he was a fan of the alcohol at the park. So gave me a lot of tips and places to go and stuff like that. Other ones, they were just spilling my shit. So, you know, so it was nice to have somebody that actually knew what I was drinking.
All right, how about this one from Just Joni? As a Vol fan and alumni, I've gotten pretty used to being disappointed year after year. Do either of you have any hope for Vol Nation in 2025? I feel like it's not going to happen. And if it doesn't, do you see any changes in the coaching? Oh, man, we're firing coaches off the playoff. Come on now.
No, and here's the success. And Mike, you got it up there on the screen. Yeah. If you're picking schedules to have in 2025, Tennessee is at, if not the top of that list, Mike. We're looking for those listeners at home. The toughest games that you would pencil in, obviously, would be Georgia at home, Bama on the road. I would say Arkansas, because they did beat you last year, but you now have them at home. And then you pair that with a Vanderbilt game at home and the Florida Gators at the Swamp. So 10-2, you get in. I just feel like it's going to happen. Tennessee will always hover toward the top of the top five, if as long as they don't lose more than two games. And guess what? If they beat Bama or if they beat Georgia, then all that goes right out the window, and now you're in the dance. And it shows, man, just getting there. It's just like the tournament and March Madness. You just, as long as you're in it, you have a chance to win it.
And this is one of Shane's favorite graphics. He said, you cannot ever delete this. We're going to need this all year. So apologies if you're just listening back later, but this is every SEC team's 2025 opponents, how they did in 2024, and Missouri, by this metric, has the most favorable schedule in the SEC. Their opponents went 76-76, mm-hmm. but Tennessee is right there with them. Tennessee's opponents for the upcoming year just went 77-75, which would be the, however you want to break this down, the 15th mm-hmm. most difficult, which is exact. This is where you want to be. You don't want to be Arkansas, who's got the toughest. You know what I mean? So, to Shane's point, schedule favors Tennessee, and maybe a big reason why. I was pretty stunned. I'm going to be honest with you, Shane. I was stunned when the over-unders, the first ones came out and had Tennessee 9.5. Same as Georgia, same as Texas. I think a big part of that is the scheduling.
Yeah, I think it is. And what if Nico does take that next step, you know? What if these new receivers that we brought in are immediately successful, you know? There are some concerns, offensive line, defense, you know, as not. But what if they're not as good as they were last year? There is continuity. You got to keep your coaching staff, but I don't know, man. I just feel like we have less questions than a lot of those other programs that are trying to compete for that outside playoff opportunity. So, yeah, I think Tennessee's – this is it. This is, if you're going to get in, this is a perfect season to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got another one, Shane. I'm going to throw up old Lane Kiffin here because he's got it rolling. Shout out to Colin Moore Magic. Get Ole Miss – become a top 10 recruiting school in the next 2 to 3 years. It's pretty clear that the money is there. And that's the critical part. So, you know, I'm throwing this up here for all the success. 10 wins, 11 wins, 8 wins, 10 wins. That's the third most wins in the SEC in that span, behind only Georgia and Alabama. And it'll be difficult, certainly, to become top 10 in recruiting annually. But I think they have a great, certainly, track record, mm-hmm. history of development. They're going to be sending a ton of guys to the NFL. They're having success on the field. And I would say normally, Shane, I think that's asking too much because all these schools are borderline top 10 recruiters in the SEC. But Mississippi is a talent-rich state. But here's the difference, Shane, that I think, now this is a gift and a curse, but I think it's been used properly as a gift. You know, what is one thing besides this Twitter and beside potential scandal? You know, what is one thing whenever you think of Lane Kiffin and people that hate him, they're always going to say what? That he could leave at tomorrow, a moment's notice. Yeah. You know right. what I mean? And that is, I think that is true, but at the same time, you know what that does, Shane? And I think it's proven the last several years with their NIL is if he, not that he's unhappy, but I think he's looking at other jobs like an Auburn, like a Florida. Yeah. And then all these Ole Miss fans say, well, how about this, coach? What do you want NIL? And if we raise that, will you stay? And I think that's happened many a times.
Yeah.
And they have met whatever demand he's had because both, I mean, I'm stunned, Shane. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm stunned that they missed the playoff, mm-hmm. and then they've come back here and they got another elite portal class. Because I thought the people that were giving the money would have said, you didn't make a playoff. I'm not giving this damn thing. But they're just giving it to them again because they know how close they are.
Yeah.
And I know all these schools are going to be getting money now, but I still think with Lane Kiffin, with the threat of him leaving at any time, I think that will, as long as they keep winning at a high level, I think that will keep the money people at Ole Miss giving to where they can potentially pay to recruit in the top 10. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of wild with when you talk about recruiting and the NIL and transfer portal. It feels like sometimes you got to pick one or have the other.
Right.
Now there's some that have the luxury of doing both, but you know, even if your coach is being negatively recruited, you know, that, hey, Lane's not going to be here in 2 years. Who gives a shit if you're in the portal? I need you for 1 year. You know, I'll tell you what, I'll be here for 25. Let's make it special. So
I
they're always going to be there. But I am curious, and I've not looked at the numbers to back this up, but I would imagine that that majority of that money, that NIL collective, is going toward the portal and less than the recruiting. So I may be wrong, but I don't know. I don't expect – I think the original question was, do you ever see Ole Miss being a – what was the question again? So I just,
a top 10 recruiter?
I think that could be, you know. And maybe the longer that lane is there – the more you start seeing something like that. But at this moment, why do it when you can just take that top five recruiting class at this program and bring them to your school in 2 years when they're not getting the playing time they thought they were?
Right. Yeah. I honestly, Shane, I think I'd rather have a top 15 recruiting class, mm-hmm. top 20, and a top five transfer class.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have that every year.
No, absolutely. I mean, recruiting, you got to have it, and he's been doing good at it, but it's, you know, for some reason, it feels like it's a pick-choose thing, yeah. And Lane's really good at the portal, so let's let him keep doing that.
Hey, how about this one, Shay, from The Figgler? Mm. What a name here. Which SEC team's going to win a natty next, and you cannot say Georgia, mm-hmm. you cannot say Texas, and you cannot say Alabama? So if it's not one of those three, who wins the next natty out of the SEC?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of orange in this room. I mean, when in Rome, I can't turn around and say, yeah, we're going to make a college football playoff off that schedule and say we can't compete for a national championship title. So I'd put Tennessee in there. I think it's a tier. I think Tennessee's in there. I think LSU could be in there. I definitely think stars align. A&M may have a chance in if we give them time type situation. But immediately, give me Tennessee 1A, LSU 1B.
Oh, I named four teams, Shane. You almost nailed all of them. LSU, A&M, Tennessee. And Lane Whiffen, come on, man. Ole Miss, I think they're in the conversation. I think they're there. So those are the four. I'm right there with you.
Ole Miss could. I like their schedule, too. You got that one by any chance?
Yes, sir.
I think it's very favorable with the home and aways especially.
Yeah.
You know, similar to the Tennessee talk, you got to win your home games. The toughest being LSU, South Carolina, Florida, maybe even Arkansas.
But I think they will be favored. You tell me if I'm wrong, folks. I think that Ole Miss will be favored in every home game. It's Georgia State. Mm-hmm. We got to stop with the Georgia State SEC. I don't know why anyone. Ole Miss probably lose it now that I said that. But Georgia State, Arkansas, Tulane, LSU, Washington State, South Carolina, Citadel, I think that is, and Florida. Again, I'm not guaranteeing you win all of them, but I'm saying they're going to be favored in all those. With the only exceptions, maybe LSU, maybe South Carolina, and maybe Florida if last season's hot streak just carries on. But I think Ole Miss will be favored in all of them. Yep. And then the away games at Kentucky, at Georgia, at Oklahoma, at Mississippi State, I think they're going to be favored at everyone but Georgia.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, they could be right there.
Yeah, maybe I should put them at 1C there. I mean, it is very thin. The only reason I mentioned A&M is just, again, I love the money, man. I mean, it's just like a video game. You pick Texas because of recruiting, you know. Now they're going to have NIL in the game. You pick them because they're going to have plenty of it. And, you know, if it doesn't work now, they'll find somebody, hopefully, that will make it work. So I'm not – again, this isn't immediate, but I do think that that's an ideal program to win national championships.
Okay. Hey, one just for you, buddy. Shout out Jason Story here. When will they, this is what I could take. When will they make rule changes for 2025, hopefully fixing the fake injuries and things of that nature? And, yeah, that always happens in the middle of the summer, so it'll be July-ish. And what they're talking about, I think this is the way they're going to do it, Shane. If you get injured, you got to sit out the rest of the possession with the exception of a quarterback. So a quarterback could get hurt. He's allowed to come back in the game. I think you could take a timeout and you could bring a player back. But they're just really trying to stop the faking of the injuries. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I dig it.
And then, so here's the part for you.
how much easier.
How much Joy Mode and Cracker Barrel does Cousin Shane recommend for Valentine's?
Oh, man. It's a gift that keeps giving, you know? I bought my wife flowers today. 50 cents, Dollar G. You're welcome. No, I think the right answer is there's not enough, you know? So
yeah.
Whatever it is, double the dose.
And then we got another one from G's Louise. Valentine's special.
Yeah.
Did Cousin Shane get a girl some chocolates in elementary school? Did you ever do that?
No. I was a fat kid, you know. I was just talking about this. You know how you always had the cards? Like, yeah. When you were a kid, you had to buy the packs of Spider-Man cards or whatever, and you handed them out. You know, I guess one year we did put some candies inside of it. So technically half the class received some chocolate. So I would say around third grade, fourth grade, somewhere around there.
Now, I don't know if you remember, they made you do this or not, Shane, but I do remember this where like they made, like if you were going to hand stuff out,
yeah,
at least they did in my school, you had to give one to everybody in the class.
Yeah.
And I always felt like the girl I liked when I got one, I was like, yes, you know, and then.
Yeah.
Everyone got one.
I'll never forget. It was seventh grade. And they come in with those dollar roses, you know. Pay a dollar and they can hand them out. And they come in with like six of them. You're like, what's the chances one of them mine? And you're like, fine. All right. Piss on all of you, you know.
Oh, yeah. Never got one of those. That's for sure.
Yeah. A little heartbroken Shane just sitting there in the corner. But I will say, my kid, I spoiled, you know, we spoil them rotten, our youngest especially. We got her some chocolate. I think there's a trend going on right now. It's called, it's like India chocolate. No, it's, you ever heard of it? It's like
India chocolate.
Not India chocolate. Help me out, listeners. It's like over
there. What's
unique
about it?
Apparently, it's like chocolate / pistachio. It's from, what's that, Dubai chocolate. That's what it was. Yeah, expensive shit. Well, we got some of those strawberries, and I tried it out, and I'm like, I don't know why this is trending, man. I didn't notice a difference. But so the last time I bought candy for a girl was yesterday.
we got some, they're calling you out, Bradley Childress. He would know. He said Shane was big pimping in elementary.
Not elementary, man. high school, though. You couldn't.
All right, and then, hey, part two of... and from G's Louise, and was Orlando Joy Mode for Valentine's?
brother, I tell you what, there wasn't a lot of doing anything after that Universal trip, you know?
Yeah.
You saw my watch. I was probably 15,000 steps when it was all said and done, you know? I'm getting alerts. Somebody stole my Apple Watch. No, I didn't say that, but it felt like it. So, no, the next 2 days, my fat ass didn't leave the lazy river. Just got on a noodle and just went around, brother.
Is this it, Shane? Appreciate you, alias. Yeah. Yes, Dubai. Good old Dubai Coco here. So I've literally never heard of that.
Now, to be fair, I'm not a strawberry. Here's one of the things I hate, Mike, is chocolate covered fruit. I think that's it's dumb. I think it's overrated. Chocolate covered strawberries, chocolate covered cherries, chocolate covered blueberries, any of that stuff. Mm. Now, if it's a dried out fruit, maybe I can get behind. Like I mentioned, the blueberries, those I can do.
See, that's the thing, Shane. This is supposed to be a new year, new Shane. This is what you got to get adjusted to. You know what I mean? Like we got to stop eating just like a bowl of chocolate, and it's supposed to be like fruit with like sprinkled chocolate. You know what I mean? Or like I hear you because I was there my whole life, and like. Like a small thing of cake,
yeah,
with fruit is amazing to me now. Like cheesecake, I wouldn't touch a cheesecake.
Let me see those fingers.
I wouldn't touch it if it didn't have some fresh fruit. You know what I mean? Like you got to mix the two together, and that's how you get to like fruit.
I don't like fruit. I don't like it. I will say this: start doing smoothies.
Yeah,
in the morning, I've been doing a little bit of that. So I like it chopped up fine, you know, so I don't, like, taste it.
Mike Andrews says Shane needs a chocolate tower.
Damn. You know, Golden Corral used to have it, and COVID ruined everything. One of my favorite spots was Hershey, Pennsylvania. We went up there to the chocolate factory.
Yeah.
Giant chocolate. I'd imagine it's not there anymore because of COVID. But, yeah, that was pretty damn cool.
Do they let you jump in or anything? Like,
No. I mean, like, you take a Rice Krispie treat and you stick it in there, or a strawberry, put it in there. But whatever. And that covers it up, and then you eat it. So that was pretty cool. It was funny because we came home. We got done. We bought like these 5-pound Hershey bars, you know. And we were kind of like, oh, this was going to be great for mom. This was going to be, and like, we didn't give them any. We ate the whole, when it was all said and done, that chocolate. No, sorry, mom, if you're listening. That didn't happen, I promise. I'll get you some.
How about Cousin Tony says chocolate-covered pork chops?
No, that sounds, well, no. Hell no.
Chocolate-covered ribs?
See, that's the thing. People get cute with chocolate. You know, they want to put it in chili and shit. And it's like, why? What are you doing just to put it on your Instagram? It's like, this is not, chocolate belongs like in a bar form on top of ice cream. I like chocolate fudge, not like chocolate Hershey syrup. I think that's a joke, but like the Smucker's kind that you got to heat up in the microwave. Yeah, that's like a hot fudge. That's pretty good.
Well, I think we figured out the next big cuz. He's going back to Hershey.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate-covered blood pressure pills, you know.
Well, once we start talking chocolates and fruit, I think it's time to log off for the day. Got anything else, brother, before we hop off the line?
No, thanks again for everybody checking out Big Cuz Does. We got some other cool stuff coming out. Got a Rusty Manziel interview going to be coming out soon. Me and Rusty would crack up on a cold one, talk a little Georgia football, so be sure to check that out. Have those notifications on, man, because when we go live, you'll be notified, you know, and you never know what's going to happen. I know football's kind of, we're in that weird area, but there's still a ton of content, and I appreciate everybody hanging out, and everybody enjoy the basketball games. Looking forward to the tournament. That'll be, what you said, 3 weeks, and we'll most likely be down in Nashville doing some cool stuff down there, too. So look forward, if you're coming down for the tourney, maybe we can meet up and have a couple cold ones.
We might need to do some Big Cuz Does Nashville.
Come on, man. Hey, you name it, brother. You name it, son. I'm in.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.